It's time for some collective wisdom, a podcast advancing the cannabis revolution one conversation at a time. We all benefit from sharing knowledge and experiences. So if you want to learn about the business of cannabis from those in the trenches, you've come to the right place. Here's your host, Lisa Tolner, co-founder of SensiChew.
Our conversation today is at the California Buyers Club with Waylon Broussard, Vice President of Sales from 3C Farms. Waylon wears many hats at 3C, and his inner circle often refers to him as the General. Waylon, welcome to Collective Wisdom.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. I'm proud to be here.
3C Farms is a micro business, so you hold several licenses within the California licensing scheme. So talk to us a little about your transition into the legal industry.
My cousin and I, we initially started our license or opened our first collective in 2006, because the years prior to that, I was trying to open up in Sacramento area, Northern California area, where we're initially from, and having the difficulties of dealing with landlords, dealing with unincorporated areas that they wanted to initially put us in, is what pushed us into Southern California, where we saw more of a need in the urban areas to do the urban jungle for cannabis. And that's when the same time that the city of Los Angeles allowed the initial pre-ICO shops to register with the city and get their license. So we jumped in, both feet in, going for it, opened up our dispensary in late 2006. And the growth from there has been, it's been a roller coaster. We've dealt with everything from watching our neighbors be raided to dealing with 280E, dealing with taxes and things that were thrown at us after we'd already started. So to be alive today and still running in the industry, I'm happy that we've made it through these hurdles, and I know there's more to come, but we're going to keep going.
Now, 3C Farms is not only a cultivator, so you have your premium craft cannabis, and hence that's the 3C, California Craft Cannabis, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have two dispensaries. You've got the Cannibal City in Los Angeles, and then you have Coast to Coast as well.
Yeah.
And Coast to Coast is in the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah, it's Canoga Park.
Canoga Park. So the flower that you're manufacturing and that you're growing is a great product to naturally have on your own shelves, but that is great flower for any dispensary.
Absolutely. And that's something that we try to pride ourselves on. We work with as many dispensaries as possible that we can supply. We have our cultivator has been a gentleman who's been around in the industry, Brian Schwartz, since early 90s. His relationship tied very closely with Josh D, where a lot of our OGs and initial genetics came from. So that started his cultivation back in 96. That's where we say we're established in 2006. And with Coast to Coast Cannabis now is what we're calling ourselves. We've been able to cultivate from that standpoint and then move on into like phase two, and that's what allowed us to have enough flower to really expand the brand and offer our craft cannabis to more than just our patient database that we could. We wanted to keep pushing it out and offering quality cannabis to California. So through the system right now with legal cannabis, it's been a challenge, but we've been able to get our phase two up and running, and now our Cannibal City, which will then as slowly right now we have our temporary license. Well, I should say we have our medicinal license. We've had to go through some hurdles with the city, with litigation, with arbitration, and beat these huge hurdles. But now we are close enough to opening up that location, which will be our flagship for downtown Los Angeles, and allow people to see what we do. That's the micro business one. The other one that we have multiple licenses because it is on-site cultivation, but our downtown one will be our flagship to show what 3C Farms really brings to the table, I should say, for stores and vendors and partners.
I'd like to talk to you about your strategic differentiation in the development of the strains you do, because I feel that's very unique. And it is an excellent differentiator for 3C Farms as a cultivator, as a craft grower. So share with us a little bit your strategic vision for the strains you've selected.
We definitely do things differently when it comes to like our strains. Again, it goes back to our co-founder and our main grower with Brian. He is our doomsday prepper. He is the one that loves on the conspiracy side, and early on took a liking to that type of rollout for our company, as cannabis naturally is a conspiracy topic. So we just rolled with it. And you might see we have in our lineup Chem Dog, which we call Chem Dog Trails. It's our own version of it. We don't necessarily take your typical strains in the industry, like you might see the most popular, the ice cream cakes or the gelatos, which are great strains, but we decided we'd offer the customer something different. And everything we do, which is really nice, is we're able to call our strains the names that we make up because we actually cultivate those strains. We crossbreed, we do our own genetics and our own proprietary genetics that make our new strains. And so it's a lot of fun. And for us, it's being different in a way that the craft industry, where I'd like to compare us to, where we have the control over what we're putting out there and want someone to enjoy it and see the conspiracy, see the fun behind it, and know us by a brand that, you know, we're your small mom and pop that's still putting out a high quality craft product, but also having our own little twist and fun on it.
I'd like to shift gears a little bit from the strain and the cultivation side to hearing from you on how you go about your staffing, because that's a big part of what happens in this industry.
3C Farms in general is basically a family affair. You know, we've had our board of directors as several brothers, and even myself being included in that group, I'm more the fifth wheel now that one of my brothers has left the company and chosen a different route. But we've started from a small group of gentlemen who had a dream and have, as soon as we got on to some of our first employees at Coast to Coast, those employees are still with us. 5, 6, 7 years later, they've worked their way up through the company. And yes, it's not necessarily the most ideal when you look at it from a corporate structure, but for us, we appreciate, we've, not to say that there's anything bad with UCFW or the unions, but they've come, they've approached us, we've brought them in with open arms, they've spoken with our employees, and we've had nothing but a really good time of expanding and being able to offer that to people that started with us and that have the same dream, the same goals as us, and are willing to back it and kind of weather the storm of some of the situations. We've all had to take our licks in this industry and work our way through it. And we all have the same bigger picture as really being a craft brand that sticks out when you have a lot of capital. You know, everyone speaks right now about all this Canadian money, and it's a different gameplay. You know, I see a lot of these capital ventures coming in where we've been very fortunate to stay as a small group and grow organically. And for that reason, it's like, okay, well, it's only fitting to bring in some of our employees that have been there and that understood us and have backed us since day one.
Well, and they've made sacrifices.
Absolutely.
As we all know, we've all made sacrifices.
Yeah.
But as a company, I think it shows your support of people who've gone through a lot with you and have stuck by you. That loyalty factor is getting some benefits back. You know, they're getting a chance to work their way up the chain and take on new roles. And there's some trust that has been built along the way. And ultimately, those are the best way to build your staffing and to build your team, your core team, because you start to really understand how each other thinks. You've got the company culture well immersed in their decision processes of the day-to-day. So kudos to you and your organization for doing that, because clearly these people have gone through, they've made sacrifices for you, and now they're able to stay with the company and grow as you grow. So talk to me a little bit about some of the challenges you see for you as a micro business, because you've got distribution, you've got multiple dispensaries, you've got even another larger expansion of Cannibal City that's going to come online here before too long, and you're cultivating. So you have a lot of irons in the fire. What are some of the challenges that you're seeing today that you wish could change?
For us right now, I think our biggest challenge is being able to keep up our supply with our demand. And when I say demand, is also dealing with the distribution channel and that side of it. That's a new game for us. Organically, we are cultivators. And then from there, we went into running dispensaries. And now when it comes into the next phase of us doing a distribution, that's a learning curve for us. You know, we're learning how to be compliant. We're learning what a real driver's manifest looks like. You know, you can put out shipping manifests all day long, but if you don't have a route manifest in place, you're going to realize that before you know it, your costs are greater than the reward. So that's been a difficult challenge for us. And obviously now with Metro kicking on board, you have all these dispensaries that have their own rules that they want us to abide by of, let's say we'll deliver on Tuesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. to noon. Okay, well, now we've got about 7 out of the 10 deliveries that have custom drops or timings and slots. So for us to coordinate that in and to make our customer happy, it's not necessarily the easiest process. So are you sending out your sales manager just to make that drop, just to make the customer happy? These are some of the challenges I think that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, not an easy thing to do, but you're forced to. You have to.
Yeah.
At least right now.
Exactly.
If you could change one thing about the cannabis space as it relates to 3C Farms so that you could be more effective, more prosperous, what would you change?
Ooh, that's a difficult question. I'd say one thing that I would like to be able to change is, I mean, this is more in the cannabis space, and I understand marketing. Everyone's getting so caught up in packaging and not kind of forgetting a little bit about what we're putting out and it being a sustainable product. I'd love to, I don't know how you could turn the wheels back where it's not all about the box inside the box and the fancy foil packaging. It's, let's get back down to what we really have inside of it and the quality of the flower so that at the end of the day, the end user is getting what they were initially looking for, not being sold on just, you know, smoke and mirrors. So that's one thing that I see a lot of it happening. And not to talk too much on the sourcing game, but a lot of these companies are buying flower and they're not actually cultivating it. So again, then you have a difficult time with consistency. That's like one part of it is a challenge, and I'd like to see changed a little bit. Be more sustainable in the industry, I guess.
Understood. So cultivators and consumers having a deeper appreciation for the source of the flower, where it's cultivated, how it's cultivated. So that quality really can come through to them. And I think over time, there's greater methods for education. More consumers will start to recognize that, especially the ones who value the craft side of the business. They really want the good stuff. Mm-hmm. They want those ratios to come in, dialed in a little more precisely if they're dealing with a medical concern or issue, or they're looking for a certain kind of high. Mm-hmm. And craft cannabis will deliver that level of expectation, deliver the experience they want. So it'll come with education, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, the craft game is completely different than, let's say, the sourcing game. In that game where these massive harvests are coming down, and for the third party who's branding that, they have to jump from group to group. And then I get it. I see that. That's where the market is. Right now we have such a sensitive subject of price point. And I understand where the patient, or I should say now, I'm sorry I use the word patient so much. I'm so used to the old days.
It's the old days.
I know.
Yeah.
But the consumer is just really looking for a price point, a good buy. And we're, as an industry, trying to fulfill that void. At the same time, that's also, that demand is what's kind of creating our niche. And that's what's allowing us to go off as craft cultivators. Because everybody wants something. There's different demographics in the industry. And we don't want to be necessarily known as a price point brand. We want to be known as our craft for what we really truly are and what it means to do the TLC behind the scenes and how it is passed down to our customers and our consumer base. It, like you said, they're on ratios. That's something that we do in-house. We recently have won a few awards for our ACDC, which is a 20-to-1 strain that we do actually in-house. It's a very difficult one. It's a very finicky plant to grow inside, yet and it's even more expensive. It costs us, you know, $350, $400 a pound extra just to trim because of the way that the plant growth. But the medicine aspect behind it, those are what we're seeing a lot of dispensaries and a lot of end users are starting to request more of. So we've taken strains like our Illuminati OG and we've cut that into our ACDC, you know, having the ability, again, to crossbreed and to work our genetics because we have the seed bank still that we've been growing over the last 20 years. We take that, we cross it in there. Now we have a 2-to-1 that we've offered. It's called ACOG. That's a whole nother realm for someone who's, again, looking for an only like an 8% THC to a 16% CBD, something that's going to take that body, relax it, whether it's having muscle twitch and spasms or restless syndrome and wanting more of a clear head. You know, these are different what ratios are starting to define in the industry. So that's something that is a new chapter, I should say, for 3C that we have done in the past, and I'm trying to push harder to put more of that out on the shelves and make it more available to some of the customers today.
Waylon, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your wisdom. I really enjoyed our conversation. Where can folks learn more about 3C Farms?
Well, we can definitely go to 3cfarms.com. Check out our website there. You can always go to 3c.farms on Instagram at 3c.farms. And we always have some lovely stories posting on there and find our locations. Leafly, you know, UCBA.com, you can actually go on there and find all of the UCBA stores that carry our products at the same time where you can find 3C Farms. The next fun one I'd say that's coming up that we're going to be attending show-wise is Secret Sesh. So for you guys out there who are in the Adelanto area, we'll be at Secret Sesh. That's secretsesh.com. You can find the lineup and the times that we'll be out there. That will be another great sanctioned event. We'll be able to do the, we call it the farm to table. So we literally, as the craft brand, will be able to sell to the end user at a highly discounted rate. So we love those type of situations where we get to be, you know, one-on-one with our customers.
That's this week's episode of the Collective Wisdom Podcast. Join us each week for another episode on OC Talk Radio, streaming on Thursdays at 3 p.m., and you can download Collective Wisdom wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to visit cacollectivewisdom.com or email us at collectivewisdompodcast@gmail.com to join the conversation. Thank you for listening.